Hey everybody, welcome back. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, and I'm your host, Neo Gentrix. Now, it's been a while since I've been here with you guys, and I haven't been able to make a podcast in a while, but I am back with some good news. Other than me getting ready for school in the fall and being able to move forward with my career, even though it took me 2.5 months to get everything back in order, I'm back and I'm ready to get started and make more podcasts like I have before. So, to get started, as always, this is Food for Thought and the whole premise of my channel is education. So, I'm going to educate you on some really cool stuff. So please look forward to the upcoming podcast this week. There will be one almost every day if I can help it. Now, we're going to go into our first topic for today. We have 25 things within the same topic that I'm going to cover today, and I would love to get into them and cover all of the stuff this week. Now, before we worry about that, let's go ahead and take a short break, and we'll begin with the first of the many things I'm going to cover this week, and we're going to cover the dark, true story behind many, many different fairy tale stories that we all used to love, stories that we thought we knew the whole story of, and that the happy ending that Disney has given us, or the one that we are most familiar with, is a lie. What better way to uncover these lies than in podcasts? And again, like I mentioned before, to everyone who listens, if you don't like the name of the topic, which I do put in the name of my podcast, or you don't like the premise of my podcast at all, feel free to skip this episode and move on to another one that you actually want to hear, or send in your requests via my Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or here on Anchor. And I'll be happy to look them over, and I'll be glad to make an episode based off of whatever suggestions you give. Now, on with the show. We're going to take a quick short 20-minute break, I guess. Well, I will anyway. And we'll be right back. And we'll begin with the dark original truth behind Sleeping Beauty. All right, everybody, and we're back. Now, like I said, we're going to get started with the original origin, or rather the dark origin, of Sleeping Beauty. Okay? Now, before we begin, fairy tales can be pretty dark. And like the Brothers Grimm, you know, the story that they wrote, a father who chops off his daughter's hand to make a deal with the devil is a prime example. Now, I'm not going to cover that one. I don't think I should. But I will definitely give it a shot, okay? The point I'm trying to make is this. The original Sleeping Beauty is in it's in a league of its own, okay? In Sleeping Beauty's original story, the hero, aka the person who saves her, is a king who meets a beautiful sleeping princess and decides to rape and impregnate her while she's sleeping. Now, spoiler warning, this is going to get pretty gruesome. So again, like, if you can't handle this, stop now, okay? Anyway, the dark Sleeping Beauty story is miles away from the classic 1959 Disney movie. And just like Disney's Beauty and the Beast is completely different from the tragic true story of the couple behind the tale as, you know, as old as time, in Giambattista's Basil's Sleeping Beauty story, originally called Sun, Moon, and Talia in 1634, the Wicked Queen, who became known as Maleficent, which is the whole point of that movie, is actually the hero's wife. Irony, huh? And hearing her side of the story will kind of make you want to root for her rather than the princess, or the prince for that matter. Anyway, Disney wasn't the first to be deeply disturbed by the original Sleeping Beauty story, okay? At the end of the 16th century, the Mother Goose Tales told Charles Perrault's Sleeping Beauty story, which took up the creepy sexual assault bit, including when Sleeping Beauty stripped was stripped naked in front of her assailant's assaulter's wife. in retrospect, you know, a lot of people preferred the Mother Goose version. And having just said that, it is pretty bad. Now, once you've read the original Sleeping Beauty, you'll never be able to look at the Disney version again. So again, I've just said this, but I haven't even gotten into the story yet. So if you can't handle this, stop right now. All right? I'll take a short break to give you a chance. And then we'll get into the next piece. All right. Well, you had your chance to back out. And seeing how you have it, we're just going to go ahead and get started then. So, moving along with the story now. The 17th century version of Sleeping Beauty is very dark. It is deeply disturbing. Let me say that right now. Now, everyone knows the story of Sleeping Beauty. It's a princess who is cursed to sleep until her true love wakes her with a kiss. In addition to the love story, there's also spindles, fairies, briar patches, apparently an evil witch who can turn into a dragon. Nice touch, Disney. But the original version of Sleeping Beauty's story is very different from the classic Disney movie that everyone is very familiar with. The original version of Sleeping Beauty was written down by an Italian by the name of Giambattista Basile, who published a book called The Tale of Tales in 1634. Very, very popular book, by the way. It contained 50 different stories, including early versions of Rapunzel, Cinderella, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty, which we'll cover all the others in the in another podcast. The last of which is called The Sun, Moon, and Talia. Now, Basile's book was used by Charlotte Perrault in the late 17th century when he wrote Mother Goose Tales, which is by the Brothers Grimm in the 19th century. But Basile's version of Sleeping Beauty is much, much darker than the Disney version. Let me go ahead and say that right now. Okay? In the Disney version of Sleeping Beauty, Aurora and Prince Philip meet in the woods where they sing Once Upon a Dream and instantly fall in love. But in the original story of Sleeping Beauty, the princess is not swept off her feet. She's raped in her sleep. I love how that rhymed. Anyway. The two main characters don't actually meet until Sleeping Beauty is already asleep. In Giambattista Basile's version, a king finds an abandoned palace. He sneaks through the window using a ladder and searches every single room. At last, the king finds Sleeping Beauty, named Talia in Basile's story, who is lying on a bed, deeply asleep. And then the story takes a very, very disturbing turn. How do I put this? A quote from the book is this. Crying aloud, the king beheld her charms and felt his blood course hotly through his veins. He lifted her in his arms and carried her to a bed where he gathered the first fruits of love. AKA, he raped her. Apparently, sleeping women were a huge turn on for the king. I'm not even going to tell you how disturbed that sounds. Anyway, as if the king raping a sleeping stranger wasn't disturbing enough, after he has sex with the Sleeping Beauty, the king goes home and for a time thought no more about this incident. Apparently, the king didn't think it was odd to find a sleeping woman abandoned in a castle, and clearly, he had no reservations about ditching her after raping her whatsoever. When the king gathered the first fruits of love from Sleeping Beauty, he apparently left something behind. 9 months later, Sleeping Beauty gives birth to two children, a boy and a girl, while she's still asleep. And before you go any further, this is entirely possible. It does happen. The author brushes past how exactly it's even possible to sleep through a twin labor. You're still in a mythical world here. I mean, don't get me wrong, women can go into labor in their sleep, but they'll wake up. So, in this story, it's entirely possible. Once the babies are born, the two fairies appear to help care for them. Basile's story is already way too dark for Disney, and at this point it takes another strange turn as the fairies try to help the newborns breastfeed. We're not done yet. Sleeping Beauty wakes up when the fairies, in an attempt to place the twins on the sleeping woman's breasts so they can nurse, more or less, accidentally stick them on her fingers instead. The newborns suck so much that the splinters of flax came out. Once the flax, which had made Sleeping Beauty fall into a coma, is removed, Sleeping Beauty awoke as if from a long sleep. Okay? When Sleeping Beauty wakes up to find two newborns mewling at her side, she doesn't have a typical response, which would probably involve screaming. Instead, she just picks up the babies and starts breastfeeding them herself. And Basile doesn't mention how long the princess has been asleep, so there's that. Although it had to be at least a year. But readers have to wonder if the flax poisoning that put Sleeping Beauty in a coma might have affected her, you know, faculties, in a manner of speaking. She sure doesn't react like a typical person anyway. And it, you know, it only gets worse once the king comes back to claim his children. You know, put bluntly anyway. So, we're going to take a short break here, and then we'll keep going. All right? All right. After that brief intermission, we're back. Now, continuing where we left off, the king, believe it or not, actually returns to Sleeping Beauty later, and finds that she's not sleeping, and she falls in love with him. I'm not kidding. Okay? Now, obviously the king hadn't thought about Sleeping Beauty for a while. After all, she had time to give sleep birth, I guess that's what you would call that, to twins. But then the king remembers her, and hoping for a second date, more or less, with the sleeping woman, he returns to the palace. He must have been pretty surprised to find Sleeping Beauty awake and taking care of, you know, his twins. The original tale claims that the king was overjoyed and he told Talia who he was and how he had seen her and what had taken place. Again, that long sleep must have affected Sleeping Beauty because rather than stabbing the king or demanding child support, like they had it at that time anyway, Basile writes, when she heard this, their friendship was knitted with tighter bonds. The two begin a romantic relationship. The king leaves out one small detail, though. He's already married. Now, in the original version, Maleficent is not an evil fairy. She's a queen married to a cheating rapist. Wow, that sounds dark. However, in the Disney Sleeping Beauty version, Maleficent is a self-proclaimed mistress of evil. She's the one who curses baby Aurora with the threat of a spindle, and she's the one who builds the spindle that ultimately puts Sleeping Beauty to sleep. It is because of Maleficent that Aurora's parents send her off to be raised with the fairies in the woods, and Maleficent transforms into a dragon to fight Prince Philip when he tries to save Aurora's life. Even in the Charles Perrault version of Sleeping Beauty, popularized in the Mother Goose Tales, again published in 1967, the evil woman is a hybrid between an old fairy and an ogress, filled with evil intentions. But the villain in Basile's Sun, Moon, and Talia is actually the king, is the king's wife, and a woman married to a cheating rapist, technically speaking. Now, before you start going, oh, well, that's just, you know, the way that Disney told it, and she probably is still the same way in this story. Wrong. The wrong queen actually tries to cook the children to feed to their father. As dark as that sounds, in a way, it is her own way of justifying what happened. Now, Maleficent might be innocent in the original version of Sleeping Beauty, but once she figures out her husband is cheating, she turns vicious. This is where the Disney version comes from. She threatens a secretary to reveal the secret of the king's mistress, warning him, if you hide the truth from me, you will never be found again, dead or alive. He spills the secret, and the queen tricks Sleeping Beauty into sending her children to the queen. The queen orders her to, and I quote, cook and slaughter the children, and cook them up in several tasteful dishes for her wretched husband. I'm not kidding. That's literally what the text says, word for word. The gentle-hearted cook could not possibly kill the adorable twins, so he hides them and cooks two lambs in their place. Then the queen sits down with the king to watch him eat his children. Whenever he compliments the food, she says, eat, eat, you're eating of your own. Yep. Pretty dark, even though we both know that he hasn't actually eaten them. Now, after cooking the children, the queen tries to toss Sleeping Beauty into a fire. The queen isn't actually satisfied, you know, with simply feeding the children to her cheating husband. She also kidnaps Sleeping Beauty. The queen calls out Sleeping Beauty, obviously unaware of the rape, by saying, you are a fine piece of goods, you ill weed. I'm sorry, you ill weed, who are enjoying my husband. She goes on to call Sleeping Beauty the lump of filth, the cruel bee that has caused my head to spin. The queen plans to toss Sleeping Beauty into a bonfire, but Sleeping Beauty tries to defend herself by saying it wasn't her fault. Because, and I quote, the king, her husband, had taken possession of her territory when she was drowned in sleep. But by this point, the queen's already out for blood. Pretty bad, huh? Man, it's a lot to cover. Anyway, Sleeping Beauty figures out what's going on once she sees the bonfire. She comes with a plan to stall for time. She asks the queen if she could take off her clothes before she's thrown into the fire because her clothes are covered in gold and pearls. The queen says, you can take off your clothes. I agree. Sleeping Beauty slowly begins to remove her clothes one by one. Her robe, her bodice, I'm not going to explain what that is, if you want to know, look it up, and her shift. Each time she takes off a garment, she screams loudly. The king bursts into the room to figure out what's causing all the screaming and finds his wife about to throw his mistress into the bonfire. The queen then tells the king that his children are dead, and he ate them, to which the king replies, you renegade witch, I'm going to say that because it's actually the other word, what evil deed is this? He orders his men to throw the queen into the fire instead of Sleeping Beauty, and after executing his wife, the king learns that his children are actually still alive. In retrospect, I feel bad for his wife. Like, terribly. And it still continues going. Let me take a short break here so I can catch my breath, and we'll be right back. Alright, we're back. Let's go ahead and finish up the rest of this story. You know. So, the king and Sleeping Beauty are reunited with their unharmed children. The king then marries Sleeping Beauty, forgetting his dead first wife. How sad. And the family lives happily ever after. In a story full of rape, cannibalism, and assault. One of the most disturbing lines comes at the very end when Basile includes a proverb that serves as the moral of the story. It goes something like this. Those who fortune favors finds good luck even in their sleep. That's right. The moral of the story, according to Basile, is that sometimes sleep rape has a happy ending. No wonder Disney had to completely change the story to make it less creepy and disgusting. In the original version, it's not just rape. It's also necrophilia, as well. Let me go ahead and cover this real quick. In the story of Sleeping Beauty, most authors go out of their way to make it clear that Sleeping Beauty has fallen into an enchanted sleep and only the prince can awaken her. Charles Perrault's version, for example, says that the princess touched a spindle and when it ran into her finger, she fell down in a swoon. The Brothers Grimm tell a similar story. When Sleeping Beauty picks up the spindle and pricks herself, she falls into a deep sleep. But in the original version by Basile, does not say that Sleeping Beauty fell asleep. He says that she died. In Basile's version, it is a flax rather than a spindle that curses Sleeping Beauty. As the princess is stretching some flax, a splinter of flax under her nail, and she fell dead upon the ground. Even Sleeping Beauty's father assumes she is dead, laying her out in the palace as if it were basically a tomb. So when the king sneaks into Sleeping Beauty's castle and has sex with her, he probably thinks she's dead too, which only makes the entire story that much worse. You know, in retrospect, it doesn't seem all that bad, but when you think about each aspect of it, it is terrible. The sad thing about me telling you this is you'll never be able to look at Sleeping Beauty the same way ever again. Like I said, the original version of Sleeping Beauty is deeply disturbing. The story celebrates a king who rapes a sleeping woman and lies to his wife, eventually throwing his wife into a fire so he can marry his mistress. Now, the scene in the Disney movie where Maleficent turns into a dragon and tries to fight Prince Philip looks a lot different in light of the original story. As a matter of fact, it actually looks a lot nicer and not so grim. The real villain in the story isn't actually the queen at all. Obviously, the rapist necrophiliac who impregnates and abandons a sleeping princess is the true villain. I mean, it kind of makes you want to root for the dragon. It's kind of sad, don't you think? You know? But, again, like I said, that's one of many stories that I plan to cover. So, again, thank you for listening. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You. I'm your host, Neo Gentrix. And today we covered the dark story behind the original, you know, nice fantasy version that we all know of Sleeping Beauty. Next time, in my next podcast, look forward to, and I'm going to be pretty thrilled to say this right now, please look forward to the next dark story of Pinocchio. We're going to cover the serious truth behind the original story written behind that one in the next episode. And as before, I'm your host, Neo Gentrix. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. If you have any thoughts, concerns, or ideas for future podcasts, please feel free to send me information, a link, a message on my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or Snapchat. Just search for Neo Gentrix on my Facebook. Search for it on Instagram. Search for Phytoby, F-I-G-H-T-T-O-B-Y, on my Twitter or on my Snapchat. And have a great rest of your day.